The Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, Episode 12. Welcome back, everybody. This is Leo Sowers, your host of the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, with Gino, the Liberty Dog himself, who's always sleeping on the job whenever it's time for a podcast, but that's okay. He's on it. He's guarding the house. Last week, for those who recall, I was out and about, and I was at a wedding, so I did not record and took pretty much the whole week off from this page, but now I'm back posting again and recording this podcast once again on a Friday evening. Before we get started, I want to remind you guys about the CoffeeBreakLiberty.com store, where you can pick up your favorite mugs, laptop cases, phone cases with the Coffee Break Liberty logo on them. There's also other logos and designs for different mugs, you know, all libertarian, liberty-leaning ideas and logos and slogans. So go check it out at the Coffee Break Liberty store at CoffeeBreakLiberty.com. And if you go to CoffeeBreakLiberty.com and wait around for about 10 to 15 seconds, you'll get hit with a prompt to sign up for the newsletter. Now, there's two benefits of signing up for this newsletter. One, you'll get newsletters. Granted, I have not sent out a newsletter yet, and I've had that up for about 5 months now. Two, you will get a discount code for 10% off of your first order from the CoffeeBreakLiberty.com store. So go sign up for the newsletter and then go use it at the store and get that discount. Well, this week we all saw the news. It was all over the place. Derek Chauvin was found guilty of second degree murder and a couple charges of manslaughter. I've talked about this a little bit before, you know, when the trial started a couple weeks ago, I was talking about it on the podcast. I'll say what I said then. I still think, and I think the verdict was correct. I do believe he murdered him, George Floyd, but I still don't believe he got a fair trial. And what I'm seeing now as well, and I see the fear, you know, people are bringing it up. They're talking about it, mob rule, right? People are afraid of the mob, and they say, oh, this is giving into the mob. I don't believe it's giving into the mob because I believe the verdict was correct, but the mob feels like they won because they were burning stuff down, if that makes sense. I think he was guilty, so finding him guilty is not giving into the mob the way I see it, but the mob sees it that way. The mob sees it as, oh, look, if we burn enough stuff, light enough stuff on fire, steal enough stuff, they'll do what we want. There's plenty in the mob that see it this way. They don't see it as justice. They see it as, oh, it's our turn. It's our turn to pull the levers. It's our turn. And by showing them that, I still want to watch what I say, right? Like I said, I think Derek Chauvin was guilty. So I don't see it myself as giving into the mob, but the mob sees it as them winning. They see themselves as winning. They see themselves as, you know, the righteous ones because they burned enough stuff. They stole enough stuff, right? It's a dangerous game to play because they're not going to stop. The mob's not going to stop. That's the point of the mob. It doesn't stop, right? It doesn't have to stop. They've been used time and time again in history, this mob, you know, be it in the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, other revolutions. They don't stop. They keep going and going. And you don't even have to give in to them. But if they perceive, if they believe that you're giving in to them, oh man, they're going to get that swelling in their chest. They're going to think they're on the right side of history. My goodness, if that phrase isn't overused and ridiculous. It's a very dangerous game, right? It's a tricky situation. Like I said, you know, I think the guy is guilty. I think Derek Chauvin was guilty. But my goodness, that's not going to stop the burning and the looting. Not even close. Now they're going to see it, you know, like I said, they're going to see it as just a way, now we can do it every time. We're good. If we want some cop to be convicted, whether right or wrong, we'll just start burning stuff. They'll charge him with murder. Of course, it didn't help, and it looks bad when you have the executive branch and the legislative branch, i.e. Maxine Waters, Representative Maxine Waters, getting on the social media, getting on the news and saying, if this isn't the right verdict, we're going to cause more harm, pretty much, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. But that she was threatening more violence if the verdict didn't go her way. So now she's opened the door with that comment for an appeal. And it's going to be appealed. I mean, every murder charge is. But, you know, these clowns that get elected. And that's exactly what she is. Same with El Presidente Biden, another clown. I digress, but he was on a Zoom call with world leaders today wearing a mask. The guy is a clown. Nobody else was wearing a mask on the Zoom call, but President Biden was. What a lunatic. What is this guy? I mean, clearly he doesn't think. I would hope not. Clearly, he doesn't think he's going to get COVID through a Zoom call. So he's doing it just to try and, feel comfortable with a mask on. Golly, guy's the worst. I mean, he's awful. And he's dumb. It doesn't help that he's dumb. Sorry, rant over. But when you've got the executive branch making comments like this, and people in the legislative branch making comments about the trial before and the verdict before it's been handed down, and this opens the door for an appeal. So now it's going to drag on even longer. Yes, it was going to be appealed anyways. It always does get appealed. But it just gives the defense a stronger case, right? Now you've got like legitimate proof to say that, well, the jurors felt scared. You've got people in the legislative branch threatening more violence where they live. Of course, Maxine Waters doesn't live there. She doesn't live in Minneapolis. She lives in L.A. So she doesn't care if that city burns to the ground. What would she care? It's not her house. The ruling class, once again, at their finest, showing us how much they care about us. You know, they'll run ads every 2 to 4 years about how they care about the poor. The poor. Oh, they care about the poor so much. But they don't care about us. They don't care if our house is burned down. Maxine Waters was advocating violence in another city. She applauded people burning down neighborhoods in other cities. This is what the ruling class is all about. Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. They don't care about us. This is not the rant I decided I wanted to get on, but it kind of went that way. Coming back around for full circle, though, don't apologize to the mob. Don't give in to the mob. And like I said, I don't think it was really giving in to the mob, but that's the way they see it. But I'll say this, don't ever apologize to the mob. Why would you apologize to people that believe a different religion than you? Why would you apologize to people that want to see you dead? They want to take your property by force. They want to send government agents to your house, where you live, where you sleep with your family, and ruin your life. And they want an apology from us? Not going to happen. The second topic I wanted to bring up of tonight's podcast comes from Harley Davidson and their announcement recently that they're pretty much going to have to stop selling American-made motorcycles in Europe. I wrote about this years ago when President Trump was talking about tariffs here and more tariffs there and just jacking up tariffs on everybody. And I said, this is a bad idea. You're going to get into a trade war. And that's exactly what's happened. He's out of office and the trade war is still going on. So the EU, the Eurozone, has slapped Harley-Davidson with a 56% tariff. by either 2022 or 2023. Doesn't really matter. All the motorcycles built in America, if things continue as they are, they may change. If things continue as they are, there will be a 56% tariff on Harley-Davidson motorcycles. They've said we are not going to be able to sell motorcycles in Europe. What they plan on doing, I don't really know. A lot of their manufacturing is in Thailand and India, so they can sell the motorcycles that they build there in Europe for cheaper, I would presume, without that 56% tariff. But the big V-twins, the big motorcycles that they make, not the smaller ones, the ones that make them the most money, the ones that cost quite a bit of money, won't be able to be sold in Europe. Now, if you're in the motorcycling community, you know that Harley-Davidson isn't really that big in Europe to begin with, but they are there. It hurts them. And this company's not doing well. So now we're seeing the Trump tariffs and trade war that he started years ago come back still to bite companies in the rear end. The solution to this, sadly, it won't happen unless there's a worldwide thought revolution, but the solution to this is free trade amongst nations. The idea behind this is essentially countries will end up being forced to produce what they produce best, if that makes sense. So let's say, for example, because we're on the topic of motorcycles, that America doesn't build the best motorcycles. They're not the best at it. Let's just say, I'm not trying to get in an argument with any Harley-Davidson folks right now, but let's just say that that's what it is, right? America just does not build the best motorcycles. They build them too expensive. They're not that good. Japan builds them better, cheaper, more efficient, etc., etc., etc. Then why would the U.S., why would the United States want to waste resources producing something inefficiently? You know, the only reason Harley-Davidson is still around is because of more tariffs and more trade war stuff in the 80s and the 70s. For those who don't know, Honda, you know, the car company, for those who don't know about motorcycles, but Honda also builds motorcycles, lots of them. Honda tried to buy Harley-Davidson, and they were blocked by the U.S. government. And then there was a tariff put on import motorcycles. A huge tariff, which helped Harley. It saved Harley-Davidson. But why would you want to save a failing company? If the company is failing, why save it? You know, let it dissolve. It will become, or let them figure it out. They'll have to become better, right? It's like when they bailed out the banks, or they bailed out GM and Chrysler and Ford and all those companies. They were failing companies. Why would you bail out a failing company? Let the company restructure, you know, hey, figure it out or you're done. They'll figure it out if they care. If they want to figure it out, they'll figure it out. If Harley-Davidson wants to figure it out, and for those in the motorcycling community, Harley, you know, you've seen Harley-Davidson making big changes in these last few years. They're going to figure it out or they won't. That's just the way it is. They don't need to be saved by the government. You know, why save a company that's not a good company? It's a drain. Free trade amongst nations opens up the opportunity for firms and countries as a whole, rather, to be more efficient, to produce what they produce best at the highest quality, at the highest quantity for the best price. You know, if Japan, right? So Japan doesn't have a lot of agricultural, you know, land. They can't farm the way the United States can. You're not buying bread from Japan. Japan's buying bread from, well, I don't know if they're buying bread from the United States, but they're buying bread from somewhere else, right? Propping up these failing industries and these failing companies in the long run and the short run isn't a good idea. You have to let them, that's capitalism, right? You have to let them die. You have to let them go away or figure it out and become better companies. Saving them when they don't change, by the way, they don't get better. doesn't do you any, it just, you know, it's like a drug addiction. It doesn't get any better. Now, I know the podcast was a little short this week, just getting back in the swing of things here. But before I sign off, I want to remind you guys of the affiliate program that I am a part of with Bluehost.com. What is Bluehost, you might ask? Bluehost is the hosting company that hosts the CoffeeBreakLiberty.com website. So if you go to CoffeeBreakLiberty.com, in the top there, there is a tab for affiliate. Click on that tab. You'll be sent to a page, and there's a banner there for Bluehost. Sign up through that link and that banner for your website, because we should all have a website. Everybody should have a website. Sign up for Bluehost through that link. You'll get a discounted price, and then let me know about it, and I'm going to give you free publicity. I'm going to give you publicity on the podcast, the Facebook page, the web page, the Instagram, the Twitter. You're going to reach thousands of people free if you sign up through my link. I used to call it the Tom Woods deal, but now I'm calling it the Leo Sowers deal. So go sign up for Bluehost.com when you start your website. Tell me about it, and I'll give you free publicity here and on those other media outlets. And with that, guys, I'm going to sign off here for the weekend. I hope you guys have a good one, and I'll talk to you next week. Take care.